Well, Creative Calls is a grade one stakes winner. He's a millionaire, and he's sired by the grade one winner and millionaire and champion sire. He's out of a grade one winner, millionaire, and a grade one producer, so how can you improve on that? Now, the facts that he's defeated every horse he ever faced, and superb confirmation, Creative Calls has the total package. Who did he beat? He gave Bodemeister 5 pounds and beat him. He whipped I'll Have Another at equal weights. He defeated Union Rags, Paintner, Hanson, Doolahan, Gemologist, the best of his crop. Creative Calls is by Giants Causeway, the nation's leading sire again this year, and he's out of the grade one stakes winner and millionaire Dream of Summer, who you may recall defeated Ashado in the grade one Apple Blossom. Creative Calls is to stand the 2013 season at Mr. and Mrs. Burton C. Jones Airdrie Stud for $15,000. Due when the foal stands and nurses, your inspection is invited. Check the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and we're here as usual at the clocker stand here at the Thoroughbred Center. Busy morning. How many we have over there, Ness?
73.
73 works this morning. The last three, somebody else clocked. I'm sitting over here. I got my wife Jackie and Holly Dunn, the medic, who is here to take care of me in my old age. How are you, Jackie?
I'm fine. Do you know today is Susie Shirtlett's birthday?
No, I didn't know
yes,
that.
Yes, and I'm going to bring her a donut of some sort. She probably won't eat it. But
you better eat it because you will if she doesn't.
That's right.
That's what's
so happy
on.
Birthday to Susie. Our Outrider girl.
That's very good. One of them.
One of them,
One of them. We've got three Outriders.
Happy birthday, 29-year-old Susie.
Yeah, me. She and I. Well, since last week's show, we've had 9 winners out of the Thoroughbred Center. We have 17 for the month so far. Been a little slow, but 9's not too bad in 7 days. And those winners were, let's see, Chuck Peary saddled one at Churchill. Tommy Short had one at Mountaineer. Wayne Mogi at Mountaineer. Alan Crupper had one at Mountaineer. Chuck Hamilton at Mountaineer. And Brenda Hill in Mountaineer. And then Wayne Mogi saddled another winner. This one he won at Churchill Downs with He's Got the Facts. Last night we had 2 more winners, both at Churchill Downs. Well, it wasn't last night, was it? Yesterday afternoon. Greg Burchill won the first race with A Brilliant Autumn. And Bobby Sturgeon won the 7th with Catch the Cactus. All right, so we're having a pretty good month. Not anywhere close to our record. I think our record was 63 winners in 1 month out of here. And we've had about 6 stakes winners. Here comes Michael Blowen. Anyway, what we're going to do today, I've got Kirk Gentry coming on at about 11th. Kirk is from Texas. He's got Gentry Farms over here on Johnston Road, which is right behind the training center here, the entrance off of Johnston Road. Actually, it's on the corner of Johnston Road and Bryan Station. And Matt Howard, my good friend Matt Howard, is the manager over there. That place has got some history behind it. The Johnston family raised Sarah's in the course, and Princess Rooney. They had Princess Rooney in, up until the time of her death, and of course she's buried at the horse park. Dr. Doug Byers is still in the Mayo Clinic. He's had a couple of setbacks. They were planning on coming home on about the 20th of this month, but he's not going to be able to make it as expected, so he's in our prayers every night. And hello, young man. Michael.
Hey, nice to see you. Michael. Thanks for the compliment. That's the first compliment you've given me in 8 years.
Have I known you that long?
I think so.
Oh, God, I know it's been a long time. I've suffered every hour.
Yeah. You're not the only one.
Kathy Riccio's going to come by.
No, she's not. She's sick.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be damned.
I get updates. Yeah, she was on her way here, and she's got some sinus problems, and she was sick, so she turned around back home.
Okay. Well, she is with Lubricin and Reborn, a couple of products established by Dr. Steve Alday. And they're going to start sponsoring next week. So would you take, you'll see her, won't you?
Yes, tomorrow.
The next day or two. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of commercials for her to look at.
Okay.
A commercial for her to look at.
Yes, sir.
And
stand whatever you say. Oh, give her the ads, God, or whatever you want.
God, he's better.
I mean, if, huh?
You're better than Ups. let's see here. We're going to talk to Kirk Gentry about, you know, Sarazen was fold over in that area, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Gentry Farms over there. Great. Do you remember Sarazen?
Yes.
I remember like yesterday.
Well, I don't remember like it was yesterday.
Well, hell, it was just a fold of 26 or something like that. Anyway. And we might look at, Steve Moody's going to, we're going to get him to give us the winner of the Mrs. Revere handicap down at Churchill today. And right now I've got Kirsten Johnson over at Kesmark dropped in. And Kirsten, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm great. Lovely morning.
It is a lovely morning.
It is. It's great out here. Thanks for having me out.
Well, I'm glad you're coming over. And Kathy called me yesterday and said she was coming with you, but...
I know. I'm sorry I missed her. I mean,
I'm sorry she's feeling bad.
I am too. Well, I'm too.
Yeah. You've got Kesmark.
Yeah.
Over on
Shannon Run, right across from the castle.
You've been there a while?
Been there about 12 years now. Yeah.
Has it been that long?
I know, that's how I feel. Has it been that long? Yeah, 12 years we've been there, and it's been great. It's been a great 12 years.
That's quite a facility. Now, didn't Dr. Harthill start that in with you all there?
Dr. Redden built it originally back in the 70s. In fact, there's some great pictures. Dwayne Markham, Dr. Markham. There's a picture of him before he went to vet school with dark hair swimming a horse in that pool. It's hilarious.
Goodness.
Ralph Glass made the center to that pool, and it was there for a number of years. And it was built to be a rehab training center, but nobody stuck around to run it. They all just kind of practiced medicine and went on their way, and it didn't work that way. And every time Rick comes in the place, I just say, thanks, Rick, because, you know, you built it for me. You just didn't know it.
There you go.
it is amazing. You know, we do a program with the alternative school kids in Fayette County.
Uh-huh.
And we had a tour at Kesmark with the students a couple of months ago, and it is absolutely amazing. And if you haven't been over there, you should call up and just take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been over.
No, I don't mean you. I mean the people that might be listening to this program.
You mean people listening to this program? Both of them.
As of 3 minutes ago, we might have had a few, but maybe not now. But it's amazing. And you know, one of the amazing things about it is, you know, they got the hyperbaric chamber and they got the swimming facility. They have all this. But the most amazing thing to me was how quiet it was and how gentle the handlers are with these horses and how mm-hmm. careful they are. It's an amazing kind of atmosphere that you can't recreate and you can't phony up. I mean, it's really an amazing place.
That means you've got good help over there, Chris.
Oh, you know, everything about the horse industry is the help that you have. And I have, you know, Victor, the farm manager, has been with me 17 years.
Really?
Yeah. All my swim boys have been with me since we started. They've all been with me 12 years. Anybody who brings yearlings or hauls horses in and out, they all just, you know, they smile and hand their horses over knowing that, you know, we've got the best aquatic swim team, aqua tread. We got team in the business, I think, anywhere. And they're key. Mm-hmm. They're key to the success of my place. I they're family.
Well, do you ever come out of the office then? You help so good, you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, I come out of the office. Yeah, I come out of the office. We just put in a brand new saltwater spa, too. I've been wanting to do a cold saltwater spa for a long time, but for me, I just had a problem putting them in a box and filling it up with water. And, you know, I know that those are great, great pieces of equipment, but ours is in ground, so the horses walk in and they walk out. It's really safe. The water temperature is perfect and kept really chilly.
What temperature do you keep the water?
34 to 33.
Holy moly.
Holy moly.
That's cold.
You know, it's
you're
hilarious.
You're not going to get me in it.
Yeah, but the horses, they love it.
It is so
they love
funny.
The cold,
you're
I guess.
Absolutely right. It is. You know, you stick your hand in it, or I put my hand, I put my finger in it, man, I'm pulling that puppy out like it's, they stand like church mice.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable how much they enjoy the cold.
Is
they
that right?
It doesn't bother them at all. They have a completely different sensation to the cold, you know, and of course it's, you know, from above the knee down, so it's not, you know, you're not getting into the muscle, but I'll tell you what, these horses do great, and it is astounding at the kind of inflammation you can take out, and just, it's a great modality.
What's the temperature of the pool?
The pool is kept, you know, we keep that room at about 65 degrees. We heat the room. And there's really no need to heat the pool because they're working hard in the pool.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, a horse, what's cold to us and cold to a horse is very different. And so that the water in the pool we do not touch. And the horses do great because they come out into a warm room. I mean, I had mares. I remember when I was in Texas all those years ago, the mares would break the ice to play in the water.
Yeah.
Horses are funny when it comes to cold. The AquaTread, we take the heat off of it. But it's a different kind of workout. So we heat it a little bit, but the pool doesn't need
Kristen, can you tell Ursel some of the horses that you've had over there that I mean, it reads like an all-star team. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, he's got to do a commercial now. He's giving me that look.
Hang
in quiet. We've got to do a commercial.
Yeah, you guys come second. You know, paying the bills comes first.
Yes, you got it.
All right. Well, Tappet ranks fourth on the list of leading sires, third by North American earnings. His stud fee has climbed to $125,000 for 2012. Now, I don't know what it's going to be for 2013. That's high enough as it is. Now, one of Tappet's fastest sons is Trapshot. Trapshot won the Grade II True North by 8.5 lengths, going 6 furlongs in 8-4. He won the Walterboro Stakes in 9 flat, 109. He carried his speed around two turns to win the $175,000 Long Branch Stakes. He sprinted 7 furlongs at Belmont to take a top allowance race, winning by 4 and won 22. Another allowance race by nearly 13 lengths at Gulfstream Park, 6.5 furlongs and won 16-1. Won 16-1, and he sprinted 6 furlongs to 109 to break his maiden, winning by over 10 lengths at Gulfstream Park. Trapshot also ran second in the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational, beating Game On Dude and Super Saver, second in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt for earnings of over $703,000. He's a half-brother to the Grade 1 Stakes winner and millionaire Miss Shop. Great family. And Trapshot's first foals are due next year. He stands for $10,000 due in the full stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All right, I want to talk a little bit about the Bluegrass Equine Center. It's down in quiet and serene Sylvester, Kentucky, if you can find that. It's there's been a training center down there for a number of years, but this one is now being headed up by Alan Kershaw, who, of course, was the general manager over at Gainsborough Farm for many years. Alan was Farm Manager of the Year, as a matter of fact. So I guess he knew what he was doing and still does. Got a good staff down there. The trainer is Chuck Simon. He's been around for a long time. They've got an AquaTread and a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, 5 furlong track. There's a turf gallop, a very good one, incidentally. High-quality facilities. And graduates from the BEC have won roughly 1/4 of their starts and finished in the top 3 nearly half the time. I wish I did that well when I was training, but I didn't. Joe Barr, who won the Breeders' Futurity out here at Keeneland, is one of the latest examples that was raised and developed at the Breeders' Cup at the BEC. It's just a short drive from Lexington and from Churchill, and to get in touch with them, here's a number. It's 865-2133. And here, let me give you their website. It's bluegrasssec.com. That'd be two S's now, bluegrass and then sec.com. Phone number, 859-948-1766 for the Bluegrass Equine Center. All right, I am talking now to Michael Bowen.
Hey, how come you have to tell people that listen to this program that there's two S's in bluegrass?
Because it's figured up with SEC. See, it's actually...
Oh, so there's three S's.
Yeah,
Yeah. All right. I understand.
All right, let me run through that again. Is that my first screw up for today?
I don't know. I missed the first 30 seconds.
It is, huh? Also, Kirsten Johnson is here from Kismar. And you were going to name some of the horses that have gone through Kismar.
Well,
impress me, will you?
That's a tough one. I'll tell you what, we've had so many great ones. I mean, Roses in May and Badge of Silver, and right now we've got some great ones in the barn. I'm a little sensitive for my owners.
Yeah, sure. We don't need to know the ones that were in there now, but the ones that were in there and then went out and won these.
Well, yeah, we're talking
you know,
about
there's
pictures
everyone,
all over the walls. It's fabulous.
The great thing. I had four horses standing in the barn Derby Day one year, and all of them were on the Derby trail. None of them made it to the Derby. They all went on to be Grade One Stakes winners, and they all are now great sires.
Is that right?
That's what the business is about. You know, everybody wants to run in the Derby, of course, but sometimes it's just not the destiny for certain horses, but it doesn't mean that those horses don't go on and have absolutely fabulous mm-hmm. careers. So that's, you know, that's
in the fact, part of our game. I think if you took the last half a dozen Derbies and looked at the horses that won the Derby and then looked at the ones that finished behind them, you'd have something.
Yeah.
A lot of multiple grade one winners, a lot of Breeders' Cup winners, the 4 or 5 year olds that take a little while longer.
Yeah.
Some
absolutely.
Of them do.
Yeah. Do you have a vet that you work with down there?
You know, we're a Switzerland place. We work with everyone. We certainly have, you know, we work with the surgeons at Bruden Riddle and Haggard's, and we have a really open door policy. I think it's the only place in this whole town that you can walk in and you'll have a vet from every clinic there at the same time, and they all smile and shake hands because it's okay. They're all it's a situation where it's a we don't have a vet on staff. You know, Dr. Alday's with us a lot. He comes in and does a great deal of soundness work for us, of course, and we appreciate that. And he refers to other veterinarians for things that, you know, he says, you know, heck, let so-and-so do this or so-and-so mm-hmm. do that. So it's a real open-door policy. I mean, I have horses in the place that have up to 4 to 5 vets working on them at one time, and everybody seems to get along. And I think that's maybe one of the things I'm most proud of.
Teamwork.
Teamwork.
Teamwork, huh?
Teamwork.
Well, I'm proud of being married for 30 years, so I guess that...
Yeah.
You qualify.
You bet.
It qualifies my wife for sainthood, I tell you that. So what happens basically if one of the doctors who just was send a horse over and then they come and work?
Well, when a horse, every horse at the facility has a veterinarian or a clinic attached to it.
Yeah.
And so if a veterinarian sends a horse over, then that is the attending vet the entire time the horse is there. You know, mm-hmm. he sent the horse.
Yeah.
And horses come to me many different ways. If a horse comes from another part of the country, I have horses flown here from all over the country, so flown to Kismar. So if a horse is sent from another part of the country, they may have a veterinarian that they want to work with here in Lexington. We have no shortage of them.
No, we're right.
We've got quite a few.
Yeah.
And you know, the funny thing that people don't understand around the country is that Lexington, Kentucky is the most economical place to get any vet work done. We have more hospitals, more boarded surgeons, more boarded specialists. We have, I think, some of the best veterinarians in the world
here. No doubt about that.
But then we also have the best diagnostics. And to send a horse here for diagnostics and for care is, you can have surgeries done here cheaper than anywhere else. It is a business.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's an interesting concept. I'd give tours all the time to people from all over the country, whether they're in sport horses, standard breds, or whatever they're in, and they have no idea. They assume that this is the most expensive place to have things done, and it's really not. You know, not only do you get the best veterinarians, but you can get the best care at the most reasonable price. It's just people don't understand that, but it's crazy.
Yeah, well, of course, from time to time, doing the industry, something will have an outbreak or something.
Yes.
Abroad or somewhere like that. And then eventually pops up in Kentucky and the problem's taken care of.
We have
the Grayson Foundation.
We got the best infectious disease, and we got the standard of care is here.
Yeah.
And they're very careful, too. I will tell you this. If there's an outbreak anywhere in this country, I know about it weeks before most people do. because I have a responsibility to, you know, we have a responsibility to this community.
Mm-hmm.
We have a responsibility not only to the horses in my place, but we all hold, you know, this is the nursery for the world, for heaven's sakes, as far as I'm concerned. And we have a true responsibility to keep, you know, the biosecurity really high in this area for everyone, not just for Kesmark, but for everyone. And I hope that people start thinking more that way, because it's a really, these bugs are getting a little sillier now, and it's real important that we all look at them really honestly and up front. But we have
Where are you from originally, Kirsten?
Originally, I'm from Southern California.
Are you really?
Yeah.
What part?
Orange County. Right. I was an OC girl before the OC was known for what it is now. But yeah, I was raised in Southern California. My family's still out there. And then I was in Texas for about 15 years.
Okay. What part of Texas?
I was north of Dallas-Fort Worth in a little town called Pilot Point.
Pilot Point.
Pilot Point, Texas.
And that just sounds good.
Didn't that sound good? Pilot Point, Texas.
Yeah, if it wasn't in Texas.
You're right.
Oh, no. Texas is a pretty good place.
You know what they say about Texas? You cross more bridges and see less water.
It's a pretty flat place.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, it is. I mean, San Antonio, from San Antonio to Dallas, you might as well be going into different countries.
Yeah. Well, yes. That's exactly right. Yeah. I have had occasion to drive through it several times. Hitchhiked across it one time.
Really?
Yeah, when
you
I was
got
in,
people picked you up. With
well, this was back during the service. Oh. You know, I put on my uniform, my service ribbons, and everything, limped a little bit, and people would pick me up.
He's got it all. I bet if you did that now, they'd pick you up too.
Yeah, then you'd find yourself on the side of the road.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, how did you get into with horses and stuff like that?
Well, I've been in the horse industry my whole life. And
was your family in it?
Nope. Nope, my father bought me my first horse just to pray that I would be quiet. Like, if I just, can I squeak, can I stop this?
I know why I bought your first horse, is to keep the boys away. You know, girls get interested in horses and they forget about boys, you know, these teenage girls.
Yeah, well, it was a great outlet and it was a love that I had and it just never went away. And I went on and stumbled headfirst into the rehab side of it when I was in Texas with some very good veterinarians there. And we did a lot of work there. Started the hyperbarics there. I had the second hyperbaric chamber for horses in the world when I was in Texas, and then, you know, brought the technology here to Kentucky, and it's kind of gotten, it's spread just a little bit.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this.
Oh.
This just does it. If you're going to be in the horse business, it doesn't get any better than this.
You're, ever seen anything over there, Michael?
What's that?
Have you seen anything over there yet?
No, but she told us we could bring anything over there anytime we wanted, and it was free.
Oh.
I told them. Yep. I mean, I do that. I just did a horse not a couple, 3 weeks ago. I think the oldest living son of Secretariat. Mm-hmm. They'd found him somewhere in a stall for 7 years, and the people, he was kind of left behind, and, you know, if we all look, everything we have is because of the horse. Mm-hmm. And if we can't, you know, if you can't help out, and if we can't, you know, leave this world a better place for them, what have we done? That's kind of my motto. So, no, any horse that's going through a transition from the racetrack or needs a spot or needs some medical care that's a little trickier than what some are able to give, we're more than happy to do that so that they can go on and have a good, it's about quality of life. And, you know, we certainly do a lot, as much of that work as we can.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. That's the only reason I tolerate Michael, you know.
Well, I know that's true. The horses do a lot for me, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
No, I'd be living in a hut somewhere.
Yeah.
Nobody talked to me.
No, you'd still be in Boston. I'd rather be in a hut.
Well, there you go.
All right. Well, I've got to take a break here. Kirsten, thank you for coming by. Listen.
Thank you. It was wonderful to be here. Great to see you guys this beautiful sunny
morning. Nice to chat with you.
It's always good to see you.
And come back and see us.
I'll do it. I'll do it anytime.
All righty. Okay.
Take care.
Well, Ms. and Mass are the winners of two Breeders' Cup races. Ms. Direction won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, beating the boys. And Flotilla won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Ms. Direction has accumulated earnings of over $914,000. Flotilla more than $582,000. So, count Ms. Direction and Flotilla among the major stakes winners by Ms. and Mass. a list which includes the likes of Mass Track, a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $828,000, Grade 1 winner Midships, $528,000, Grade 1 winner Ultimate Eagle, he's won $467,000, and such graded stakes winners as Jaboom and Madeo and Seaspeak and Strike the Bell and Tropical Light, 26 stakes winners and some 70 stakes horses, including the three-year-old filly Ultrasonic, who took on the colts in the Wentworth Stakes at Doncaster last Saturday, and she finished second. You're going to be hearing more about that filly very soon. Mizzen Mass has done about all you could ask of a sire. He's sired stakes winners on every type of racing surface, the distances from 6 furlongs to a mile and a quarter. Grade 1 winner Mizzen Mass by Cozin stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Tom Biedemann. You know Tom Biedemann, don't you, Michael?
Fabulous, yep. I love Tom. He's great. He does a great job at auctioneering anything. If you've got something you need to auction off, Diane called him once about auctioning me off, but it didn't work out that well.
I'll bet it didn't.
He said, I've done a lot of auctioneering, and I've auctioneered a lot of stuff, but I think this is where I draw the line.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, Tom is one of the nation's top real estate agents, as a matter of fact. That's Biedemann Real Estate and Auctioneers is the name of his firm. And his website is BiedemannBrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, Brokerage.com. He's got great places always listed on his website. I love that website. You get on there and daydream about all the wonderful places.
I'm so envious of all that. I'm looking. Let's see, we could put 15 retirees over there, and we could get this one and put another 30 over there. And I mean, so it makes me feel like a little Napoleon.
I know. He's got another lovely place over on Greenwich, 323 acres, 100 stalls, including a training barn, breeding complex, 4 residences. Now, that'll set you up. Lovely places, a place over on Pisgah Pike. And it's a Brittany farm. It's world famous. And it's over 700 acres. It's a turnkey horse farm, just 3 miles from Keeneland.
Yeah, it's perfect. Beautiful, beautiful place.
And there's
how many acres is that, Ursula? It's like 700 or something, isn't it?
706.
Wow.
Got a little plus sign back there.
Yeah, nice.
So like 0.2 or
it's
something.
It's very nice.
Yeah. And he's got places down close to us for sale. In Bourbon County. In fact, there's one right up the road from us. I think it's 106 acres. Right on Clay Kaiser, and don't be afraid of it now because it's about a mile from us, and there's 2 hills in between, so you don't have to look at our place. Anyway, Tom has got a great website. Go to it. If you're thinking about putting your farm on the market or you're looking for a place, well, he's a horseman, too, and he can absolutely give you just what you're looking for. He knows what you need. Knows what you what horsemen want. So give him a call at 277-2030, and that's BiedemannBrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, Brokerage.com. Well, Country Day, a son of Eclipse Award winner and leading sire Sprightstown, won stakes at Oaklawn, the Fairgrounds, Presque Isle, ran second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint at Churchill, placed in a total of 5 stakes, including the Grade 3 Woodford Reserve, that's out here at Keeneland, and 2 more stakes at the Fairgrounds, stakes at Arlington Park. He won on dirt, grass, and artificial, and earned over $503,000. Competitive wherever he was asked to run. Country Day's sire, Sprightstown, currently ranks number 1 on the 2012 sire list by North American Earnings. He's got 20 stakes winners and earners of over $9 million. This year, and the stud fee for 2013 has climbed a bit. It's now $60,000. Country Day's Dam, Hidden Assets, won graded stakes, produced 3 stakes winners, and she is one of more than 70 stakes winners by the prominent sire Mount Livermore by Blushing Groom. Country Day, stand his first season of stud next year, 5,000. Live foal at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. For details, get in touch with Crestwood Farm, 859-252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Where's my bumper music? I guess my bumper music got bumped. Michael, what's going on at Old Fred?
Well, I know. We got Get Stormy over there with Pope McLean now, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got him over there.
No. Pope McLean has him. He's standing at stud over there.
Yeah, I know. I was just talking about it.
I know. I'm just trying to blend in somehow. Trying to make some kind of transition here.
Well, let me do the commercials, will you?
Well, I'm just... I'm just trying to incorporate goodwill into the commercial.
Well, have you done the handicapping yet for this week? Oh, you won't?
Yeah.
Got a furnishing with a racing form every
Saturday. You're supposed to get, it's a professional obligation. Come here. Give me that.
He picks the loser of the week.
Yeah, I have one.
I have Steve Moody on to pick the winners of the week. He picks the losers.
Hey, never mind. It worked out good the other day. I had one at Churchill Downs. I went with my friend Charlie Pig to Churchill Downs to watch one of his horses run in the third race. I hit a 10-cent super that paid $1,200, so that was good. That paid for our dinners for a week or two. That paid for the winners. Here. I got one here, Ursel.
Well, it's about time.
Kristen, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what Steve. This is in the Mrs. Revere. We're moving up in class. It's a grade 3 loser.
Oh, okay.
I usually don't have claiming losers, but I'm moving up to a grade 3 loser this week.
Well, there are losers in graded races, too.
I'm worried this horse might actually win, which is making me a little nervous. But he's 10-1 on the morning line, which qualifies him. And he's a nice closer stalker type. And last time he ran, he'd been away from May to October. He raced at Belmont on the 27th of October in the Banner Gala, an $85,000 little stake up there, and finished third by a length. And, you know, he finished right behind a Somali Lemonade, a previous start, and Somali Lemonade's in here as well. But I think the pace might help this horse a little bit. He might be able to sit right behind the pace and finish in one of the second, third, or fourth spots, and it's the 12 horse. His name is, or her name is Regalo Mia, and she's a Sligo Bay horse. And she's very, very competitive. She's,
you know, Canadian bred, or
she's been out. No, she's Florida bred.
Florida bred, okay.
But
Adina Springs is Sligo Bay, I believe.
I think you're right. Yeah, I'm sure that's right.
Is that the way you pronounce that, Sligo?
Sligo Bay.
I always wondered. Didn't know
Sligo Bay is an Irish bred.
Is he good?
Yes. And but it's a, you know, it's a 1/16 on the grass, and this horse has had 3 starts at that distance on the grass and finished second twice and third once, and 10-1 on the morning line.
There you go.
Regalo Mia, loser of the week.
Of the week, okay. And you put that on the bottom of your exotics, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. On the very bottom.
On the very bottom.
Ursel, thank you very, very much.
Oh, wait a minute.
What else? Wait a minute.
Jackie's got something.
Susie's on her way. We're going to sing Happy Birthday. But anyway, I had the TV on, and they have this show called Alps from Above or something, AXS channel. I guess it's AXS. And I sort of idly watching it, you know. And they were in a town in northern Italy on a lake. And the lake is surrounded by cliffs, ridges. And the name of the town is Riva.
Riva Ridge.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I finally found out where Riva Ridge came from.
Oh. Yes.
Did you already know that?
Well, actually, the only reason I knew it is I read a story about Riva Ridge and how they named Riva Ridge, after the World War II battle. Riva Ridge. I read about a week or two ago.
Gorgeous, beautiful town.
Yeah.
And the bluest, like, it's fed, I think, from glaciers, but anyway. So, anyway, if you can stick here for a few minutes, we're going to sing Susie's
birthday. Oh, you don't want me to sing Susie's birthday wishes. I mean, my goodness, great.
Probably do her in.
Holy mackerel. That would do it.
So, well, you know Susie.
Yeah, of course I do.
Yeah.
If you knew Susie like I knew Susie. No, it's her birthday, but I'm not singing. I can't sing.
Well,
I can tap dance.
Well, you tap dance.
All right, I'll tap dance. Happy birthday.
We're having a two-layer.
In my muck boot.
Do it out on the balcony, will you? I mean, it's
we're having a two-layer donut.
I used to come home from playing.
This is supposed to be the candle.
I love it. Nice candle.
You do have a candle?
I think I do.
Oh,
she's got everything.
She's got a candle.
I got a flashlight.
That's in case anybody dies while Holly is ministering to them. She has a candle prepared for the last. That's it. So that's, she has that in her kit, her little medical kit.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's funny.
Isn't there a reverend bunch here, I'll tell
you. Terrible. We're terrible. See what happens when Dr. Byers isn't here. Everything gets out of control. We got to get him back in here.
Because, absolutely.
You know,
Do you suppose if you sent the car just in care of Mayo Clinic?
It'll get him.
Yeah, okay.
You think it will?
Or you could send it to the farm. You could just send it to the farm at Ironworks Pike.
Well, I don't want to do that. I want him to get it.
He'll get it. He'll get it. People are moving back and forth from the farm up there all the time.
Is that right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he'll get it. Yeah, send him a card.
Okay.
We got an email just 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get the same one?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I talked to Doug yesterday.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
How'd he sound?
He sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
You know Doug. It's like,
he's always like, positive.
Yeah, they're always, you know, oh, they give me some of this, and they give me some of that, and they give me some
and
of
I'll
that.
I'll be home in 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, he says,
Thursday.
He always says I'll be home the end of the week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, there she is.
He just doesn't tell us which week it's going to be.
No, no, no. Okay.
No candle. Okay. She must have used it the last time that person tipped over.
Yeah. You're going to regret this, Susie.
Come on.
I'm staying out of this too. They're singing happy birthday to Susie.
They're singing
Susie
happy birthday.
Susie's been around. Gosh, she was out with this. She'd been out riding here for I don't know how long. Wow. She's done about it. Oh, she used to ride races.
Really?
Yeah. And she's converted a lot of horses over from off-track horses, you know, and she's even trained mules. You name it, and she's done it.
She's great.
Yeah, she's been around here a long time.
She knows what she's doing.
She's been a professional. And the pony that she's riding is a great pony. Not a pony. He's no Lex Thoroughbred, what he is. But he sees everything. If there's a loose horse, a rider comes off or a loose horse somewhere, he usually sees it before the outriders do. And I've seen him make many a catch here. All you have to do is hang on and reach out because he's going to put you where you can get him.
You can tell by the way he looks. He's got a great
head. Looking now.
Yeah, he is looking now.
Yeah.
Just wondering when he's going to be called into service. Hopefully he won't be.
He's getting a little age on him, and I've told Susie that you're going to take him at old friends when the time came.
Whatever you say. Whatever you say. Absolutely. But I think Doug is doing better.
Well, I hope
so. Yeah, I think he's.
Well, when are you going to have another get together party over at your place? That's what I want to know.
Well, we'll have to do one before long. Got some, you know, great things coming up. We have, of course, our old friends along the Bourbon Trail that's coming up in February at the Seelbach Hotel, and that's always a huge event for us.
If you live through it.
Yeah, well, the Seelbach fortunately allows us to rent the rooms that night for half price.
So you just all you have to do is stagger that in the hallway.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I sent a friend of mine. I won't say who it is, but last time we were there, I sent a friend of mine. I said, "Could you go back to the room and pick something up for me?" He went back to the room and he never came back. He passed out on the bed watching the Golf Channel at 11 o'clock at night. Bourbon and golf put you asleep in 2 seconds.
Well, it's a good thing you made it up on the elevator.
But it's great fun, and we've got some other things that we're working on to raise some money. I'm trying to raise some money before the end of the year so we can get the paddocks fixed up, fix a little fence, do a little this, do a little that, so that next spring everything will be in ship shape.
Uh-huh. No new faces.
No. I wish, but we can't. We don't have any room.
All shopped out. All mm-hmm. room. Yeah. Well,
we got a long waiting list too, which is the motivation that I have to go out and raise money. I would never raise any money. I hate raising money. I hate it. It's the, you know, when the horses die, it's bad, and when raising money's bad. Everything else I can handle.
Yeah.
But we have to raise some more money because we've got to get more space for more horses because, you know, we get the demand for this now is really, really up.
Yeah.
I think people really are looking at us and other groups as a really good alternative for the end
now
of
what
careers.
What about the organization that was at the NTRA?
Yeah.
They're going to start up?
That's going to start
I
up.
I heard thing about them.
Yeah, they've been doing a great job. They you know, they accomplished something that I tried for years to do, and that is to bring a lot of the farms together with the tracks and with a lot of the other organizations, and it never worked. But they've done a great job. Joe and Mike Ziegler over there have done a fabulous job. And this is just part of it. If you go back and look in the Blood Horse and in the Daily Racing Forum, they have all the details of the first their first big push. I think they're going to start giving money out in January and February. But I know that there's about 13 farms on the list. And what these farms are doing is they're adding up all their stud fees for the year, mm-hmm. and they're going to donate 25% of that number.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, so if you got horses that have, you know, total of $250,000 in stud fees, you know, it's a lot of money. It's like it's over 50 grand.
Yeah.
So, and there's 13 farms. I know the Jockey Club's involved, Keeneland's involved. There's a lot of different groups that are involved, and I think it's going to work out really well.
Yeah. As donors, they're involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Darley's involved, Airdrie, you know, a lot of the farms.
Mm-hmm. Saw Barry Jones. He was here this morning.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Look good.
I wonder if Mark Bileski is getting ready to come back. I know he's been over at the farm resting. But I think he's starting to work out Mark Bileski mm-hmm. again. And Believe You Can, I think, is starting to work out again, too. His Oaks winner.
She got started right here, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Wayne Mackey. In fact, Wayne started both of those Oaks winners for Barry.
Wow.
Right here.
Well, she's a beautiful horse. And Rosie Naprovnik certainly likes her.
Well, she should. She should. We're going out of that.
Yeah, she's great. She's actually took a little vacation, and she's in South Africa on a long, I think, a 10-day horseback riding expedition in the outback in South Africa.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. All right, Michael.
All right, Ursa. Well, if anybody'd like a tour today, it's a beautiful day to come see the horses, and you can come see our latest acquisition, who is Sarava, the 2002 Belmont winner, and he's an amazing animal. He's just full of himself and a lot of fun to be around.
I've seen a couple of winners by him lately.
Really? Yeah. Uh-oh. Now he's in trouble. He may want him back.
Florida breds, of course, but, mm-hmm. you know, that's where he stood.
Sure.
Yeah, but... I know. I notice him now, and he gets winners.
Good.
Yeah. I don't think people really took to him a lot, you know.
It was strange. I mean, I don't know how many different farms he was at, but he was at four or five different farms in Florida. Like Gary Drake, his owner, they'd get him in one farm, and then, you know, 2 months later, that farm would be out of business, and so he'd have to find another farm. And that farm would have some trouble, and then so they kept moving him. And I think Gary feels to this day, I wouldn't speak for him in a way, but I think he would say that he never thought that he was there at a place long enough to attract the kind of mares that they were trying to attract to him.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, nevertheless, he...
How old is he?
I think he's 13.
He's not very old. Mm-hmm. Not very big either.
No.
Yeah, little bitty guy. That might have something to
what
do
with
it.
What a field he beat, though.
Oh, well, God,
yeah. Yeah, holy mackerel.
Belmont Stakes winner.
Yeah, and when they go look at him, they want to see him as big.
No, he's...
That's why
Trent DeSormo said he lost the Belmont. He finished second on Medaglia d'Oro that year.
Yeah.
And Kent said, Kent
that,
told
that little run guy going to beat us?
Yeah.
Either that or he didn't see him coming.
No. They were there neck and neck, and he thought, I'm only worried about Perfect Drift and Sunday Break and Proud Citizen. They're behind me, and I'm worried about them. I'm not worried about this one.
Yeah.
And they're going neck and neck. And Kent said to me, he said, you know, we get blamed for a lot. Jockeys get blamed all the time for losing races and all this kind of stuff. And he said, I have to say, in that case, it was really my fault that I cost Medaglia d'Oro the Belmont win because I didn't take that horse seriously. Well, there you go.
Okay.
Didn't bother Kenny McPeak about.
No. I think Kenny, it was funny when we brought him over to, when we brought the Sarava over to Keeneland for the breakfast at the works, we showed the Belmont Stakes, and he actually stopped and watched it on the TV. It was hilarious.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
All right,
Ursel.
I'm late.
Make some money.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
Thanks for everything.
Yeah.
Well, Classic winner Jazzle has sired a Classic winner in his first crop. Comediante has won two Grade One stakes in South America, the Classico Simon Bolivar and the Gold Club Classic. The Grade One Simon Bolivar is one of the most coveted stakes run in South America, where so many superior stakes winners have come to this country to win major stakes, including the recent winner of the Grade Two Breeders' Cup Marathon. Comediante ran a mile and a half in 2:29.1 to take the Simon Bolivar, and he won as he pleased by 7 lengths. Dazzle is the sire of 19 first crop winners, including Najjar, who placed in the $125,000 Arlington Classic. Stakes place does sizzle. And they're winning at the major tracks. Three have won at Churchill Downs, Oaklawn at Louisiana, three in Pennsylvania, Del Mar, Colonel Downs, Ellis Park, Turfway, Hollywood Park, wherever they're asked to run. Now Jazzle's second crop two-year-olds are coming out running. From eight starters, six have won a place, including Love Me Good, a maiden special winner that next ran fourth in the grade three debutante at Churchill, followed with a placing in the RMM Stakes at Delaware. Jazzle, winner of the grade one Belmont Stakes and the son of Seeking Gold, is a half-brother to Rags to Riches, winner of the Belmont Stakes. Great family. Jazzle stands for $4,000. Live foal. The Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stag manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
How many do I give him?
Oh. Whoops. All righty. Did that go over the air? I was two copies of a commercial that was supposed to be sent home with Michael Blowing what we were talking about there. Well, Quillen Leather and Tack, my good buddy Ralph Quillen down in Paris, Kentucky, has a Quillen Tack, of Quillen Leather and Tack, since 1982. Ralph, I know you're that old. The nation's largest custom halter shop. They shipped over 17,000 halters a year worldwide. Nobody else does that like they do. Anything that has to do with tack, they can take care of you right there at Quillen Tack. Also, they have a wonderful gift shop, pet collars and leads, leashes. You can go in there and buy belts. Those belts that they put out are great Christmas gifts. Matter of fact, I would recommend that you go in there and do your Christmas shopping because they have a wonderful gift shop there. It's a great place to visit. Nice people. Let me tell you how to get there. If you're coming in going into Paris, Kentucky, from the Lexington area, going into the Paris Lexington Road, not known as the Simon Kenton Highway, but that's the official name of it. Anyway, go straight into Paris, go to the third stoplight and look on your left, and there it is. You can't go wrong. So, it's Quillen Leather and Tack, Quillen.com, Quillin.com. Well, Holland's Holiday is the nation's number one ranked sire on the 2012 juvenile sire list. He is the sire of 19 two-year-old winners, five of them graded stakes winners, including undefeated Shanghai Bobby, winner of the grade one Grey Goose Breeders' Cup juvenile stakes, and a virtual lock for an Eclipse Award. In addition, Harlan's Holiday has sired 13 stakes winners, and their earners are more than $6,492,000 this year to rank eighth on the general sire list among sires now a stud in North America. Harlan's Holiday, an elite sire by any measure, is to stand the 2013 season for $35,000 live foal. Harlan's Holiday, the leading sire of two-year-olds, Sprightstown, the nation's leading sire by North American earnings, three of the top 10 and four of the top 14 leading sires on the 2012 sire list, Sprightstown, Distorted Humor, Harlan's Holiday, Tis Now, the second-ranked freshman sire, Spring at Last, and the leading freshman sire of Sales Yearlings by average, Colonel John, all stand at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packard at 873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Oh, okay. Let's see. I can't do all this KTA here and all this. There's a little bit of time that I've got left. We're going to have coming here and here.
How are you?
Kirk Gentry is going to come in and sit down with us in a minute.
How are you?
Sit down, Kirk.
Who?
Have a seat. We're going to put you on the hot seat.
Hi, sir.
Not really. Here, getting a little bit closer to that. I'm talking to Kirk Gentry from Gentry Farm, right over here behind the Thoroughbred Center on Johnston Road. And Dutcher and farm manager Matt Howard are here. Hi, Dutcher.
He nodded.
Man, a few words. He doesn't take after his daddy. Let me
tell you. That's for sure.
His daddy's a man of many words.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got a nice farm over there. I don't know about your farm manager, but it's a lovely farm. How many acres you have over there?
We have a little less than 300.
300 acres?
Yes.
Now, does it border on Bryan Station also?
It does. It does. Yes, sir.
How long? When did you all get that? How long have you been?
It's been right at 28 years now.
It's my God. Has it been that long?
It has.
Did you buy it from Whit Johnston?
We the 100 acres on Bryan Station actually was bought from a gentleman that was a banker here in town, and I'm trying to think of his name now. Anyway, that was the original 100 acres. Then we bought the 200 acres that joins it from Whit.
Okay, I knew Whit real well.
Did you?
He was a good friend of mine.
Okay,
he was. Managing the editor of the Blood Horse magazine for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. And his wife, Stoney, died, maybe 10, 12 years before Whit did.
Mm-hmm.
And they were great people. She used to fox hunt and you know.
I heard she was. You know, I knew him, and he was a great guy.
Yeah, he was a nice. He used to raise carry pigeons.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Matt tells me that you still got that building over
there. The pens are still there. They are.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you can always branch out a little bit.
Right, right, right. He was a character. He was.
Yes, he was. But
he was a nice guy.
Yeah, I was very, very fond of him. You know, the family, the Johnston family, of course, the road was named after him.
Right.
And that's on that piece of property. I'm 99% sure that a great horse named Sarazen was foaled there.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he was the champion back in the late 1920s or something like that.
Okay.
Really great racehorse.
Huh.
He was by a horse named High Time, which I remember very well. But there's quite a story behind him. I'm going to talk about it a little bit in the second hour. About Sarazen and High Time and that piece of property.
Well, that's interesting. I did not realize that.
Now, on the Bryan Station section, do you go all the way back to the creek?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where Bryan Station was.
Right.
Where it was a fort built back in the 1700s.
Okay.
And it's a quite a famous place, too, you know, that's during the Revolutionary War, about 600 Indians and led by Simon Girty.
Mm-hmm.
And some British general, I forget his name, came in there and they surrounded the fort. And they hid there without, you know, thinking that they would, as soon as they came out, you know, that the people there in the fort didn't know they were there. Well, the poor people knew.
Right.
And they sent for help in Lexington. And, but they were out of water and they sent all the women and the girls down to the spring there to collect water. And the Indians didn't reveal their identity there. They were afraid, you know, let them people know how many of them there were or anything. So they didn't bother them. And they went back. And then the settlement opened fire on them. And they had a battle there all afternoon. And then finally help came from Lexington and the Indians withdrew.
Hmm. But, okay.
Yeah. Now that and a cup of coffee.
Herschel knows that because, well, he was one of the villagers back then.
I was on the warpath. Yeah. you're from Texas.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Born and raised in West Texas, Lubbock.
Uh-huh.
And still live there.
Oh, do you now?
And okay. Only get up here 5-6 times a year. I wish I could come up more often, but I'm busy in Texas, so it's hard to get up here more often.
Yeah, that's where your business is down in Texas.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you got some property down there too, I understand, because Matt just went down to go hunting.
Right. We have a ranch that's it's very close to the Pitchfork and the 4-6s there in West Texas.
The Pitchfork, what's that?
It's a large ranch. It's been there for many years.
Okay. Who owns that now?
It's a family out of St. Louis, and I'm not sure. It's a few families, I believe, that are the heirs to it.
Now, you anywhere close to King Ranch?
No, we're way up north in the Panhandle.
Oh,
and
okay.
And King Ranch is way down south, long ways.
I came through the Panhandle and went back when I was in the service, hitchhiking, coming home.
Oh, really?
Calvary.
And I got stuck out there in the middle of nowhere, and I about froze to death. Hmm. I mean, that was the coldest place I've ever been in my life. Does it get that cold all the time?
No, but it does get very cold, especially when it's windy.
Yeah. Well, it was windy.
Yeah. And we have a lot of wind in West Texas.
Well, it's pretty flat, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, well, you're in the quarter horse business.
Yes, yes.
And the thoroughbred business.
My father's been breeding quarter horses probably for right at 48 years now.
Well, that's the Texas coming out in you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. You got interested in quarter horses, and then you branched into thoroughbreds.
Yes, he actually started out probably showing horses, the halter show for the American Quarter Horse Association. They do different divisions, and they have a halter class where they show horses. And
yeah.
And he actually started out doing that, and then started getting into the racing mm-hmm. horses. And I think he bought his first brood mare probably about 48 years ago.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
About the same time. Well, no, it was 20 years ago. So you were involved did they have racing in Texas at 48 years ago?
Yes, they did. Uh-huh.
It's mm-hmm. been going that long. I remember for a long time they didn't have racing.
Right. They had some brush tracks and whatnot, smaller tracks.
Okay, but they weren't paramutual.
They did not have paramutual then, no.
Quarter horse racing.
Yes.
Yeah, like they did in Louisiana.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That kind of thing.
And mainly, but he mainly raced in New Mexico and California mainly.
Yeah.
Okay. Back in those days.
Let me take a break here. I got to catch up on commercials. I'll get right back with you.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, last Saturday at Aqueduct, Vajak, a 2-year-old from the first crop of Into Mischief, making his career debut, won a $62,000 maiden special, drew away under a hand ride to win by a length and a half. Bred in Kentucky by Mark Mahal, Vajak is one of seven 2-year-old winners by Into Mischief. All seven won maiden specials. Three have placed in stakes, including Golden Sense, second to Shanghai Bobby, and the Grade 1 Champagne. Shanghai Bobby is a virtual lock to gain the Eclipse Award as champion 2-year-old, and he's by Holland's Holiday, and Holland's Holiday, of course, is the sire of Into Mischief. Into Mischief also won Grade 1 stakes as a 2-year-old, running a mile and a 16th in 1:40.4 to take the Grade 1 cash call for Turdy. Came back at 3 to win the Damascus Stakes, 7 furlongs in 1:20.1. Finished second in the Grade 1 Malibu and the Grade 2 San Vicente from 3 starts. Holland's Holiday is the nation's leading sire of 2-year-olds, and he also ranks 8th among all sires now at stud in the USA by North American Rodings. He's the sire of 13 2012 stakes winners, 5 of them 2-year-olds. Into Mischief, $7,500. Due when the full stands of nurses is spent through farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feller, Ned Toffee. 294-0030. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FirstNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, Broken Vow is the sire of 18 2012 stakes winners. Only Giants Causeway and Sprightstown have sired more. 6 of the 18 have won graded stakes. He's the sire of 29 2012 stakes horses. Does it every year. And to date, he's sired more than 100 stakes horses. Broken Vow's most recent stakes winner is the 2-year-old colt Outside Nashville, winner last Saturday the Gold Nugget Stakes at Golden Gate. Bred in Kentucky by Sienna Farms and sold at the Ocala Breeders' March 2-year-old in training sale for $115,000. Outside Nashville went into the Golden Nugget Stakes off a win in a maiden special on October 20. It's trained by Jerry Hollendorfer. Broken Vow, the nation's third-ranked sire by number 2012 stakes winner, stands at Pin Oak Stud with the Stallions Cowboy Cow by Giants Causeway, Sky Classic by Nijinsky II. Now's the time to book for 2013. Just call Pin Oak Stud, 873-1420, and ask for Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevenson. See the website at pinoakstud.com. All righty. Well, I'm talking to Kirk Gentry of Gentry Farms. You all are kind of scattered around. You got quarter horses everywhere, haven't you? I know that. Didn't you have just retired, just a really top race mare?
We did. We had to retire. She had a couple of chips in one of her knees, but she had a great year this year. She 3 weeks ago, she won in the American Quarter Horse Association. They have sponsored races. It's kind of like the Breeders' Cup in the thoroughbred industry.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, she won the distaff race. And that was about 3.5 weeks ago. And so she went out with a bang. She won a good, it's grade one stakes in the quarter horse world. And she just won that. And so she should be a contender this year for the champion age mare.
Oh, is that what you call it?
Yes.
What do they call those awards?
It's very similar to the thoroughbred world. It's different titles, you know, for champion age mare and champion 2 year old filly and
Yeah.
And then world champion.
Yeah. Okay. And where was she racing?
She actually was racing, start out in Florida at the first of the year at Hialeah. They have a quarter horse meet there.
Matt Frazier have her down there?
Yes, he did. And then she went to Oklahoma and won a regional distaff race to qualify for that championship night. And then she went to California and won another regional race there.
Yeah.
And this year they move it around just like the Breeders' Cup. This year it was in Iowa.
Dan, how many broodmares in the band, of quarter horse band, do you have?
Oh gosh, Matt, we have right now we have probably about 12.
Yeah.
Are they all here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So you breed them here. Do you breed any to...
Well, they can, you know, in the quarter horse world, they do allow artificial insemination.
Yeah.
And so they do ship semen. And so we're able to keep them here and ship the semen up here to breed them.
Okay. Yeah. And how many mares you have in the thoroughbreds there?
Seven.
One. Yeah.
Well, you know, and the quarter horses outnumber the thoroughbreds. What is it?
They're cheaper on the quarter horses.
We've been breeding them a lot longer, horses.
Well, I understand.
So
I'm just teasing you a little bit.
We've just got some established families that we've had for a long time, and it's hard to part with them.
Yeah. Well, I know what you mean. Now, a lot of these quarter horse mares, you do breed the thoroughbred stags.
Yes, we have. We bred a mare to Cuvée and had a real nice mare. We retired last year.
Mm-hmm.
She ran out 385,000, and it was a good cross.
Yeah.
And then we have one here that's at the training facility that's a Johannesburg cross with a quarter horse. You look at a true quarter horse is really only good for like 200-250 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So all the and all the money's at 400 and 440.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the larger purses.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, the quarter horse people have been crossing with the thoroughbreds, and to run 400, you have to have that thoroughbred blood in them.
Okay.
So the majority of your better quarter horses all have thoroughbreds in them. They're really three-fourths thoroughbreds.
Yeah, I think one of the foundation sires as far as racing in quarter horses is a horse named Three Bars.
Yes.
And
yes.
He was foaled right up here on the Paris Pike in Bourbon County.
Okay.
A fellow named Ned Brent bred him.
All right.
He was a good racehorse.
He was a great horse.
Yeah. Well, he was a great sire.
Yes.
Quarter horse.
Yes.
And he was a good racehorse. I mean, he won. I believe he might have won stakes at Oaklawn. I know he raced in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that goes back to the greatest sires in the quarter horse industry is goes back to Three Bars. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Now, my dad used to manage Dixiana Farm over here, and they had a horse named Spison that the quarter horse people wanted to breed to a lot, you know.
Right.
And there was some people from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I believe that's who wanted to breed to him. Some friend of my dad's down there, and they never did do it for some reason. Well, he stood for $5,000, and we're talking about a long time ago. That was a lot of money.
Were you familiar with a horse called Bud Bueno?
No.
He stood out in California, and he was mainly bred to he was a thoroughbred, but he was mainly bred to quarter horses. And I think he actually ran in South America or somewhere.
El Bueno?
Bud Bueno.
Bud Bueno.
Bud Bueno. And he was a great thoroughbred sire that was mainly bred to quarter horses.
Okay. There's been a bunch of them, haven't there?
There has.
Yeah.
Yes.
I used to love to get that quarter horse journal and look at the pictures in that thing. Most of them have big, broad hands in there. We've had some riding horses that were quarter horses, a couple of them, and they were great. But they were the old-fashioned stock ponies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you all breed any of those anymore?
A little bit.
Is that what you used to ride?
Actually, I did.
Yeah.
When I was a young man, yes.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. They were. I love those kind of horses. What was that last one we had, Jackie?
Bo and Mo.
Mo was a curver. I didn't much care for that.
Last one was Mo.
Now the horse that we sent down to Tennessee. Remember, I forget what.
We called him Casey Tibbs.
Casey Tibbs after the cowboy.
That, oh, okay.
I think Jackie had a crush on Casey Tibbs when she was. Well, you've basically you've got a family down in Texas then, and you just come up here to pester, make sure to look over Matt's shoulder every now and then.
Huh? Right. Yeah, he actually does a great job up here, so.
Yeah, well, we put up with him.
I know he's over here bothering you every once in a while.
He comes over and helps me clock when I get in trouble, which is about every day. Yeah, he does.
He's just like him because of Dutcher.
Yeah, we just want Dutcher around. That's what that is all that is about. Yeah. Now, who are you breeding your thoroughbred mares to this year?
It's still up in the air. We actually... we'll probably go back to Giant's Causeway with one. We've got a 2-year-old that's in training that's only had one out. She had her first out last week over at Churchill, and ran second.
Did she?
And but it was very, very good out for her first out, 6.5 furlongs. And in fact, the horse that won it just topped the sale here at Keeneland.
Mm-hmm.
The horse that beat her. Sold for $775,000.
Oh, yeah. What was that, Philly by Flashy Bull?
That's, yeah. Exactly, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, he's down at the Airdrie stud, Flashy Bull, and he has got a stud horse down there named Majestic Perfection. And I watched him win a Grade 1 stakes at Saratoga and Sprinter.
Uh-huh.
And I have... been a long time since I've seen a thoroughbred come out of starting gate like he did. I mean, it looked like everything else dwelt, you know.
Right.
And
that's what you want in the quarter horse world.
I know. I mean, he was gone. And running second that day to him was a horse that went on and won the Breeders' Cup Sprint and was named champion sprinter for the year because of, I don't think Majestic Perfection raced after that. Something happened to him and he didn't race after that, but he was, he was fast. Steve Asmussen had him and said he was the fastest horse he'd ever seen.
Hmm.
Not trained, but seen.
Right.
And they say he's a grand looking horse. I don't know. I need to go down and look at him, but Bray, that's a free plug. And
Where do you say he stands at?
Airdrie stud.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But Burry Jones has got him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Nice people. Nice people to do business with. Anyway. Well, I wish you all luck. You're going to need it with this guy running your farm.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. One other thing I wanted to mention that you all had took care of Princess Rooney over in her... You had her for a few years.
Yes, this one in training is a great granddaughter.
Is that right?
Uh huh. Uh huh.
Yeah.
And she's very, very nice. Eddie Keneally is training her.
Mm-hmm. That's the Giant's Causeway that just ran second.
Yes. And she's really a nice filly. She's a great looking filly, and we've got our fingers crossed with her.
Well,
I think she's got a lot of talent.
Yeah. Well, I wish you a lot of luck with her.
Okay. Well, yeah. I appreciate that. So I guess we'll have to try to maybe breed that mare back to Giant's Causeway this year.
Well, why not?
Right.
He's topping the sire list about every year, so, I mean.
That's right.
If this filly ran good going 6.5 in her first start, she probably wants to go on.
Yes.
Most of them do.
Yes.
Yeah.
She'll just keep getting better, I think.
Now, you bred the Majestic Warrior, Matt, tell me.
We did.
Yeah.
We actually bred six that first 2 years ago, and we have three weanlings. One mare died and one didn't get in foal, but we do have three weanlings at the farm, and then we have three more mares that are in foal to him.
Yeah. So he's the leading sire 2 year winners this year. I think he's got 21, 22. Is that right, Matt?
22.
And they just raised his stud fee, by the way.
Yeah, what did it come out at?
I think it's 12.5 now.
Okay.
Isn't that right, Matt? I believe it is. I've got it written down at home, but anyway. He picked a good horse, so. Yeah. You're doing a lot of business with Coolmore down there. You bred the Scat Daddy, too, didn't you?
Yes. We have a quarter horse Scat Daddy.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's got some talent also. He's a 2 year old, and he qualified up in Ruidoso, New Mexico for one of their feature races there called the Rainbow Futurity.
Yeah. Well, Kirk, thank you for coming by. I appreciate you stopping taking the time to do this.
Sure, I enjoyed it. It was very nice to see you.
I learned a little something talking about quarter horses with you.
All right.
I don't think I learned anything from Matt, but I'm glad I came from you.
Well, come see us sometime at the farm.
I'm going to do that. I've been over a couple of times, and I'll stop by.
Love to have you over.
Well, thank you, Kirk. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, well, stay thirsty.
What's good on Thanksgiving?
Let's see where I am now. I'm behind. Yeah, stay thirsty. Won the historic Grade 1 Travers Stakes, duplicating the feat of his sire, Champion Bernardini. He won the Grade 2 Jim Dandy at Saratoga, yet another tradition-laden race won by Bernardini. He also won the Grade 3 Gotham, ran second in the Grade 1 Hopeful Stakes as a 2-year-old, second in the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, twice placed in the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup, including a head-bobbing loss to Flat Out after a pace-setting effort in his most recent start. Sage Thirsty has earned $1,726,000. After ranking with the best of his crop at 2, at 3, and at 4. Impeccably bred, Stay Thirsty sold for $500,000 as a 2-year-old in training. Pedigree abounds with classic performance. Bernardini, the nation's leading third crop sire, won the Preakness. Stay Thirsty's dam has produced 2 colts, which placed in Grade 1 in the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, and his second dam won stakes and placed in the classic Mother Goose. Stay Thirsty is to stand his first season of stud next year, Coolmore's Ashford Stud. For more information, call the farm, 859-873-7088, and check the website at coolmore.com. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we were able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studio, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
Creative Cause is a Grade 1 Stakes winner and millionaire, side by a Grade 1 Stakes winner, millionaire, and champion sire. He's out of a Grade 1 winner and millionaire and Grade 1 producer, so how are you going to improve on that? Now add the fact that he defeated every horse he ever faced, and he has superb confirmation. Creative Cause has the total package. Who did he beat? He gave Bodemeister 5 pounds and beat him. He whipped I'll Have Another at equal weights. He defeated Union Rags and Paintner and Hanson and Doolahan and Gemologist. Best of his crop. Creative Causes by Giants Causeway, the nation's leading sire again this year. He's out of the Grade 1 Stakes winner and Millionaire Dream of Summer, who, you may recall, defeated Ashado in the Grade 1 Apple Blossom. Creative Cause is going to stand the 2013 season of Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud for $15,000, payable when the foal stands and nurses. Your inspection's invited. Check the website, airdreestud.com. Remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right. Well, I believe I have Steve Moody with me this morning, and now that Michael Blowen has given us a loser of the week, you're going to have the winner of the week. I hope.
Well, maybe I should find out who's the loser of the week, so maybe just in case.
I think they're in the same race.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he always picks the bottom of the exotic wagering, you know. And then he takes all these dimes and bets, spreads around $7 or $8 around and wins $2,000 or something like that. I don't know how he does it, but he thinks he does, and he thinks he's doing, or at least I never hear about the losing tickets. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch a game last night?
Yeah, I watched it. It was, you know, I expect probably what you're supposed to do when you're playing a team like that, especially when they lose their leading score in the pregame shoot around.
Isn't that something? That's too bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was a well coached team, it just didn't have much talent.
No.
Yeah, and that anyway. I tell you what though, the big kid, the center, he's starting to impress me. He's not just a stiff, he can move.
Yeah, well, I think both of them have got some ability, I mean, Noel's a guy that, despite his you know, reputation, he's not shy about getting down there and diving on the floor. And
no, he's fast, too.
Doing all those little things that...
I mean, he can get up and down that floor.
Yeah.
Now, the other kid can't guard a fence post yet, but other than that...
He's got some nice moves, though. I think he's further along than I expected.
Well, he's got a way to go yet.
Defensively, yeah. He couldn't guard me. I agree.
Yeah. Well, all right. Of course, they're kind of hurting at the point guard position right now a little bit. But
more than a little.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I'm afraid so. Well, who do you like in the big one at Churchill today?
Well, of course, you got two today. So you got the Commonwealth Turf, the seventh race. That's for the three-year-old Kohler males. And then the Mrs. Revere is the ninth for the three-year-old fillies.
Well, I'll be happy with two winners.
The seventh, we'll go with the colt race first. And big field in here, 16 drawn. Going to have 14 run, more than likely. Two also eligible. So, very tough race. I think you could make a case for about half of them. I went all the way to the far outside, Ursula. I like the 14 in here. Lockout. This colt is about Limehouse, and Mark Cassie has this one, and he's won. He's won three of his last four, and two in a row on the grass. He's got, you know, he'll kind of settle off the leaders, of course, on the far outside, and hopefully not get. Can tuck in at some point there and not get hung out too far. And he's going to be running at the end. I think he's got a big shot in here. He's 8-1 in the morning line. Looks like a pretty nice price. You got the leading rider. Sean Bridgemahan has the mount. So I'm going to give this one a chance to upset the pull a little upset here. The six-horse Leah, or Lee, maybe. I picked in the two spot, ran in the Hawthorne Derby last time. Just had too much to do in there. Finished well for Al Stahl, but just way too much to do. Like the race.
That's where they're playing.
Samurai. But I do think
that's home. Uh-oh.
I mean, also, if he were to, he's 5-1 on the morning line, and then go up to the horse on the inside, the one Film Shot. This horse is, has been, well traveled. He's run several different racetracks. Bill Mott's got him, you know, one of the top turf trainers around. And, he did, his only start at Churchill, he did win. So, he does have, an affinity for that turf course. He's another one that's 8-1 in the morning line. So I wouldn't be surprised if any of these very tough pitchers. So I mean, you look down here and you've got the three horse 2 months for Jimmy.
Hey,
shipping him in, I think, has got a big chance. the nine horse X Taper. He's got a speed. I think he'll be out there winning it early. 11 horse King David. So very tough, but I want to go with the 14. We'll go 14, 14-6-1 in the Commonwealth Turf.
Okay. And, hey, Steve, are you on your cell phone?
No.
You're cutting in and out some. We got the got who you like, though, but you're cutting in and out a little bit. But go ahead, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, we've got the ninth race is a Mrs. Revere. This is a grade two for three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th. I'm going to go with the horse that likes the Churchill turf, and that's the seven Center Court. She hadn't been worse than second all year long. Three wins, four seconds from seven starts. She's two for two at Churchill. I think she'll settle into a pretty good spot in there. Julian Leperu comes in to ride her. She'll be running at the end. I'm going to give her the slight edge over Ms. Ida, the horse that's won three straight for Steve Margolis. She's another one that she's got a win at Churchill. She broke her maiden there. I think she's got a big chance. And then the three horse Peace Preserver, she won the Pebbles up at Aqueduct, and she looks to be going good right now. John Velasquez comes in to ride her for Todd Fletcher, and has a big shot in here. But I'm going with the horse that likes the course, Center Court. We'll go 7-11-3 in the Mrs. Revere.
All right. Well, that came through loud and clear. Very good. Okay, Steve, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And you can, of course, Steve is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can go on the line, which is brisnet.com, and pick it up. Probably available down at Churchill if you're going down there. The best place to go is go online, brisnet.com. Steve, thank you. Good luck.
All right, Ernst.
All right.
One more week at Churchill.
One more week at Churchill. Yeah. And then what are you going to do?
I'll be doing the fairgrounds.
Ah, good. Very good. Okay, well, we'll talk to you about the fairgrounds.
All right.
Well, Tappet ranks fourth on the list of leading sires, third by North American earnings. Stud fees climbed to $125,000. That was for this year. I don't know what's going to be next year. One of Tappet's fastest sons is Trap Shot. Trap Shot won the Grade 2 True North by 8.5 lengths, 6 furlongs and 8-4. Won the Walterboro Stakes, 109. Carried his speed around two turns to win the $175,000 Long Branch Stakes at Monmouth. Sprinted 7 furlongs at Belmont to take a top allowance race, winning by 4 and 122 flat. Another allowance race by nearly 13 lengths at Gulfstream, 6.5 furlongs, 116-1. Sprinted 6 furlongs, 109 flat to break his maiden, winning by over 10 lengths at Gulfstream. Trap Shot also ran second in the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational, beating Game On Dude and Super Saver, and second in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt for earnings of over $730,000. A half-brother to the Grade 1 Stakes winner and Millionaire Miss Shop from a great family, Trap Shot's first foals are due next year. He stands for $10,000 doing the foal stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at Claiborne Farm. com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, had been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business, quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners both here and abroad first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. And the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, the number one ranked sire on the 2012 sire list is Empire Maker. Empire Maker, no longer available for stud duties in this country. But his grade one winning son, Pioneer of the Nile, is available, and he stands at Vinery, Kentucky. Pioneer of the Nile won grade one stakes at both 2 and 3, earned more than $1,634,000. He's out of a stakes winning daughter of Lord of War, and his 2013 stud fee is $15,000 live full. You're invited to inspect Pioneer of the Nile and the facilities at Vinery, Kentucky for boarding, breeding, sales prep, and rehabilitation. In fact, Vinery has world-class facilities not only in Kentucky, but in New York and in Florida as well. So they're equipped to handle your every need in the thoroughbred industry. Call the farm, 859-455-9388. Ask for John Gasper or Steve Casanola, Francis Rillahan, or Grant Williamson. And you can see the website at vinery.com.
Run that vinery one more time. Build it high, you better
sheet up. All righty. Well, I want to take care of my good friend David Schweitzer over at the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association in Toba. And we'd like to announce the winners of the Breeders of Kentucky Breds that won stakes the previous weekend. And we'll have to start out with the Nazareth Stakes, grade 2 down at Aqueduct. And it was won by Violence. Violence was bred by Dale Ridge Farm. The Tempted Stakes, grade 3 at Aqueduct, winner was My Happy Face. That's a 2-year-old filly from the first crop by Tiz Wonderful. Who stands over at Spendthrift Farm, and My Happy Face was bred by Spendthrift Farm in partnership with Shawhan Place, which is run by the Cook family down in Bourbon County. The Autumn Stakes, grade 2, whoops, I'll get to that in a minute. The Long Island Handicap, grade 3 at Aqueduct. Star Farmer won that. A Star Farmer, a filly bred by Judmont Farm. The Cardinal Handicap at Churchill Downs winner, Daisy Divine, was bred by Riley McDonald. The Autumn Stakes, grade 2 at Woodbine winner was James Street. James Street was bred by Eugene Meldick. The Glorious Song Stakes at Woodbine went to look at this one real close. Linan, bred by Robert B. Trussell Jr., John T.L. Jones Jr., and Empire Partners. The Clever Trevor Stakes at Remington Park, that's a $100,000 stake, went to King Henry, Bill Betts, Dr. Chuck Kidder, La Mancha, and Jim Betts. The Real Quiet Stakes at Hollywood Park, $100,000 stakes. Winner was Carving, bred by Windstar Farm. The James F. Lewis III stakes at Law, Whiskey Romeo, won that one. And he was bred by John Williams, and they left her name off, but I think that Benny Bell Williams, his lovely bride, is co-breeder of that. I probably should have just mounted Benny and skipped John. the Sharp Cat Stakes at Hollywood Park winner, Midnight Ballet, bred by Saibon Racing Stables. The L. Hoven Stakes, anyway, Rotama, went to Admiral Kitten, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Golden Nugget Stakes at Golden Gate, outside Nashville, won that. That's a 2-year-old colt by Broken Vow. That's his 18th stakes winner this year. He was bred by Sienna Farms. The M2 Technology La Serena Stakes at Ritama. Kitty's Dumplings won that, and that one bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. And I think we had one more stakes. Please don't ask me to pronounce that. It was in Japan, and the winner, well, I shouldn't even announce that. IJIGEN. Well, who would that be? Ijigen?
Toyota.
Toyota, Jackie says.
It's the only Japanese word I know.
Anyway, was bred in Kentucky. The winner was bred by Patricia Pavlish in Kentucky, and that was an Empire Maker. Well, Mizzen Mass sired the winners of 2 Breeders' Cup races. Misdirection won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. She beat the boys, and Flotilla won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Misdirection has accumulated earnings of over 914,000. Flotilla, she's earned more than 582,000. So count Misdirection and Flotilla among the major stakes winners by Miz and Mass, a list that includes the likes of Mass Track, a grade one stakes winner over 828,000. Grade one winner Midships, he won over $528,000. Grade one winner Ultimate Eagle, he's earned over 467,000. And such graded stakes winners as Jaboom and Madeo and C-Speak and Strike the Bell and Tropical Light. 26 stakes winners, some 70 stakes horses, including the three-year-old filly Ultrasonic, who took on the Colts in the Wentworth Stakes at Doncaster last Saturday and finished second. And you're going to be hearing more about this filly very soon. Miz and Mass has done about all you could ask of a sire. It sired stakes winners on every type of racing service in the distances from 6 furlongs to a mile and a quarter. Grade one winner, Miz and Mass by Cozine, stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and take a look at the website, judmont.com. Well, Kentucky Breds won 11 of the Breeders' Cup races this year, and 5 of the 11 were raised on products from McCauley Brothers. And that includes the winner of the Grade 1 $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Now, that's a record to be proud of. In racing last week, the winner of the Grade 3 Cardinal Handicap at Churchill Downs, Daisy Divide, was bred by Riley McDonald, a longtime customer of McCauley Brothers. King Henry, winner of the $100,000 Clever Trevor Stakes at Remington, was bred by Bill Betts, Dr. Chuck Kidder, LaMancha, and Jim Betts. They, too, have been using McCauley products for years. And the Real Choir Stakes at Hollywood Park was won by Carving, bred by Windstar Farm. So congratulations to all. The facts are pretty clear, at least they are to me. Customers of McCauley Brothers get results, and McCauley's would be delighted to add your name to their list of clients where, incidentally, the service is the equal of the quality of the products. Just call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 873-3333. You're welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse.
I noticed a horse from here, Old Army, is on the also's for that Commonwealth Stakes at Churchill today.
I believe that's Chuck Peary's horse.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, right. Chuck was up here this morning.
Was he?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, don't know if he drew in or not. But
I don't know. He gave him a little blowout yesterday, so I don't know if he got in or not.
I don't know.
I guess. I just don't know.
Anyway.
We'll find out.
That's what you get for looking at the racing form.
Okay.
Here's your racing form.
Well, you're supposed to do the announcements, not to read the racing form to us.
Oh, and I was hanging on your every word.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Golden.
Jackie's winners of the week.
Yeah, if he draws in. Okay. Bluegrass Farm Charities, Mary Lee Butte, sent me a nice little thing. I thought I'd say a few things. Thanksgiving dinner at Sal's Chop House, Bluegrass Farm Charities, teaming with the good folks at Bluegrass Hospitality. They're going to have a delicious traditional Thanksgiving dinner to low-income workers on the farm backstretch and ancillary areas of racing. Would I be ancillary?
How about a low-income clocker?
Okay. Anyway, that's really a nice thing to do. So if you're interested,
good food over there. We've eaten over there several times.
Yeah, that's nice. It's
so
nice that they've
Lansdowne Shopping Center.
Yeah, it's still open to the public, but they're going to put a certain section of it.
Okay, very nice.
So let's see. Here's another one. If your farmer conduct a clothing drive, they were looking for stuff for a clothing drive for people for Christmas. That's 219-0910. And, you can go to Bluegrass Farm Charities. If you Google it, you'll come up with the phone number and stuff. Okay, the Blessing of the Hounds event at Shaker Village. This is pretty nifty. Saturday, November 24th at 10 o'clock at Shaker Village, they're going to have the Blessing of the Hounds. Public is invited, and they're having dinner, food, all this good stuff.
come early, enjoy a hot buffet breakfast, or stay after the event for a special holiday lunch. And, of course, they're going to serve dinner. But what a nifty thing for people to get to watch. It's beautiful. It's formal. It's the first formal hunt of the season. And it's going to be gorgeous. What a great idea. I know Shaker Village has put out a little marketing thing about it. So it would be a great fun thing to do. You might want to call ShakerVillageKY.org is 734-5411. But Shaker Village, Kentucky, KY, ShakerVillageKY.org. And if you're going to eat, reserve a place. And if not, just come down and see who falls on their rumpus. Hopefully nobody. The birthplace of polo has donated an exhibit to the International Museum of the Horse, Manipur Governor, gifts items to protect the endangered Manipuri pony. India. So they're going to take all this good stuff and talk about it was the southeastern Himalayan kingdom. It's now a state in northeast India. Introduced the sport of polo to the British in 1854. And they sent over all kind of things. What got my attention was I had thought there to use for a ball, they take some kind of root and, you know, round it up and make it into a ball. I always thought that early on they used people's heads, you know, their enemies' heads and bang them around, which I thought was very interesting. But I don't think that's in this exhibit. So when you find yourself at the horse park, go check on polo. Today is the Olika Shriners Rodeo. I know Susie Shirtlett's going to celebrate her birthday at the Olika Shriners. She said it's a hoot because, you know, whenever the Shriners have anything, they have to come out first before anything starts with the clowns, and they ride around in those little motorcycles and little buggies or whatever they ride around in with in circles and stuff. It's just it's a lot of fun for kids if you want to go to the rodeo today. Bluegrass Blast 4-H Nationals and Open Drill Team Competition. That's a lot of fun to watch. And Southern Lights is open as of right now. I think it's $10 a car if I run across that. But the Bluegrass Blast is fun. It's synchronized riding teams. So another good thing going on at the horse park. Let's see. I want to mention Ben Eversole, this guy over at Sally Vans. He's the fleet and facility manager. He's a real nice guy. He's from Cincinnati. And I didn't realize this, but Sally Vans will repair your trailer. I didn't know that they – I thought maybe they just did their own. And, boy, if anybody knows trailers, these people build the things from the ground up. So they really know what they're doing. And we took our trailer over couple of days ago, got it back yesterday, and we were real surprised how inexpensive. We didn't feel like we had gotten, you know what I mean? He did a good job, and we were real pleased with it. They even got the lights to working on that old thing, so amazing. Horse Park is participating in something called the Good Giving Guide Challenge. If you're interested in that, give them a call at the horse park and they'll put you through. It's too complicated for me to figure out.
Yeah, I've got an announcement. What? We're on early next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 9 till 11. 9 till 11.
Aren't we on 9 to 11 for the next foreseeable?
I think for the next 4 weeks.
Holy cow.
I believe that's right. We've got a football game, Tennessee game, and then we've got 3 straight Saturday basketball games.
Go Cats.
And anyway, so that's
an announcement worth announcing.
That's worth announcing.
Also, I want to talk about Macaulay's real quick. Longevity. We have an old retired horse with no teeth. And Longevity is cubes, they call them. It's little pellet-like things. About that. What? Like the joint on your
maybe
finger somewhere like that. They're not very big.
But they are designed to pop open when they gum them. And if you do sweet feed that's got grain in it, they can't digest that stuff because they can't chew it up before it starts in the system. So it reminds me of Cheerios. I was eating Cheerios one day and I thought, ha-ha, when I chew these, they pop and dissolve. And that's what longevity does down at Macaulay's. Yeah. That's just the smartest idea. Dr. John Liu, that's so smart. They also have something called M10 Balancer, which is pelleted supplement for mature horses at maintenance or work. It's 873-3333. I can't think of anything else. Things are slowing down, of course, because of the holidays. But
all righty.
Anyway.
Well, classic winner Jazzle is out a classic winner in his first crop. Comediante has won two Grade 1 stakes in South America, the Classico Simon Bolivar and the Gold Cup Classic. The Grade 1 Simon Bolivar is one of the most coveted stakes run in South America, where so many superior stakes winners have come to this country to win major stakes, including the recent win of the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Marathon. Comediante ran a mile and a half in 2:29.1 to take the Simon Bolivar. He won, as he pleased, by 7 lengths. Jazzle is the sire of 19 first crop winners, including Najjar, who placed in the $125,000 Arlington Classic, and stakes placed Just Sizzle. And they're winning at major tracks. 3 have won at Churchill, Oaklawn, Louisiana, 3 in Pennsylvania, Del Mar, Colonial Downs, at Ellis Park and Turfway, at Hollywood Park. They're winning wherever they're asked to run. Now Jazzle's second crop two-year-olds are coming out running. From 8 starters, 6 have won a place, including Love Me Good, maiden special winner that ran 4th in the Grade 3 debutante at Churchill, followed with a placing in the RMM Stakes at Delaware. Jazzle, winner of the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes and the son of Seeking the Gold, is a half-brother to Rags and Riches. She, too, won the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes. Great family. Jazzle stands for $4,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes. See the website, shadwellfarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is bristnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer staff, detailed pedigree data, brisk class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaway. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover bristnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, Jim Ologist is a Grade 1 stakes winner by Tisnow out of Crystal Shard by Mr. Prospector. He's going to stand his first season stud in 2013 at Windstar Farm. $15,000, I'm pretty sure their fees are due on the foal stands and nurses. They're bred by G. Watts Humphrey and Louise I. Humphrey and sold as a yearling for $310,000. Jim Ologist won the first 5 starts of his career. He was undefeated at 2, concluding the year with a score in the historic Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill Downs. He won his 3-year-old debut at Gulfstream, and then he won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial at the direct expense of Alpha. Retired with earnings in excess of $794,000, Gemologist joins his Hall of Fame sire, Tisnow, at Windstar Farm. In fact, he is the second Grade 1 winner by Tisnow to join the ranks of stallions at Windstar, having been preceded by Colonel John, the number one ranked freshman sire by yearling sales average this year. Now, let me remind you that 3 of the top 10 and 4 of the top 14 leading sires of 2012, a list that includes Tisnow, the nation's number one ranked sire by North American earnings, the second ranked freshman sire, and the leading sire of 2-year-olds all stand at Windstar Farm. For more information, contact Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packard, 873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. You know, I was talking, had earlier on in the show, Kirk Gentry from over here, Gentry Farm, over here on the Johnston Road, and I mentioned a horse named Saracen, who was foaled over there, and indeed he was. He was foaled over there in 1921, and he was named after the great golfer, Gene Saracen, and bred by Dr. Marcus Johnston. And the Johnston family, of course, that was where that the road was named after them, and they had purchased the purchase of that farm from Wig Johnson, who was from that family. So anyway, there's another good horse that's been raised on that property, and Sarazen was by a horse named High Time, who was extremely inbred. He was by Ultimus. Now, Ultimus was by Commando, who was by Domino, out of Running Stream, who was also by Domino. So Ultimus was bred 2x2, inbred 2x2 to Domino. Well, they bred the mare Noonday to High Time, and Ultimus, and Noonday was also by Domino. So High Time had three crosses of Domino in his first three generations. That a little incest for you. Must have been from Eastern Kentucky. I should have said that.
No, should've. You should.
Well, the dam of Sarazen was a mare named Rushbox, who was by Box. And High Time had tremendous speed, but he was a bleeder. And he had broken his maiden going short, and then they put him in the stakes, and Colonel Chin owned him. And Colonel Chin bet his money, and the horse stopped cold.
Oh, man.
And he lost a large bet on him, you know. Well, anyway, a few years later, the colonel did keep the stud horse, keep him for a stud for some reason. I don't know. We probably couldn't get rid of him.
Yeah.
But anyway, Dr. Johnston got in touch with Colonel Chin and asked him, said he had two colts for sale, and would he come out and look at them? And Colonel Phil Chin, who was a gentleman, when he was told they were both by High Time, he wasn't really interested, but he had a lot of respect for Dr. Coleman, so he went out and looked at him, and he looked at him, and he liked them both, and he bought them both. And one of them was Sarazen, and I forget the name of the other one, but he also turned out to be a stakes winner. And Sarazen was, he just paid $2,500 for the pair, which was pretty good money back in the 20s, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like $25,000.
Yeah. Well, the colonel won three races with Sarazen and then sold him to Mrs. Graham Fair Vanderbilt for $10,000. So he did all right on that little transaction. And at that time, Max Hirsch took over the training of him. And Sarazen was undefeated in 10 starts as a 2-year-old. He won a bunch of stakes. He won the Champagne and the 8-furlong Pimlico Wait for Age race, beating older horses. 3-year-old, he won 8 of his 12 starts. He won the Carter and the Saranac and the Manhattan, several other stakes. I guess his greatest race came in the International, number 3 at Latonia, before 60,000 fans. Can you imagine 60,000 fans? Of course, this was the old Latonia. They had... the French had sent Epinard, European champion, who's the best heart over there, to race in a series of three races, and he finished third in all three. Second in all three of them. And the last one was won by Sarazen, and there was another good horses in there. Chiloui was in there, so it was Mad Play. My Play was in there. That was a full brother to Man of War. And some really nice horses in there, anyway. A lot of people had questioned his ability to get 10 furlongs because of his breeding, but he won a mile and a quarter, and listen to this time, 2:02. I'll tell you what, that'll win a lot of them, wouldn't it? Most of the derbies. Anyway, Sarazen raced on through age 7. He failed to win his last two seasons, and his owner, Ms. Vanderbilt, sent him to Tom Pyatt's farm over here in on Spur Road, which is now Crestwood Farm, and he was pensioned out there. Died at age 19. So during his career, he ran 55 times. He had 27 wins. 23 of those 27 wins were in stakes races, and he earned over $223,000. So he was just a little bit better than an empty stall.
Yes, he was.
As a matter of fact. Well, last Saturday at Aqueduct, Vijack, a 2-year-old from the first crop by In the Mischief, making his career debut, won a $62,000 maiden special. She drew away under a hand ride to win by a length and a half. bred in Kentucky by Mark Mahal, Vijax, one of 7 2-year winners by In the Mischief. All seven won maiden specials. Three have placed in stakes, and that includes Golden Sense, who was second to Shanghai Bobby in the Grade One Champagne. Of course, Shanghai Bobby is a virtual lock to gain an Eclipse Waters champion 2-year-old, and he is by Harlan's Holiday, and Harlan's Holiday happens to be the sire of In the Mischief. In the Mischief also won Grade One stakes as a 2-year-old. Ran a mile in 16th, won 40-4 to take the Grade One cash call for Tootie. Came back at 3 and he won the Damascus Stakes, getting 7 furlongs and 120-1. Finished second in the Grade One Malibu and the Grade Two San Vicente from 3 starts as a 3-year-old. Harlan's Holiday is the nation's leading sire 2-year-olds, also ranks 8th among all sires. Now it's stood in the USA by North American earnings. He is the sire of 13 2012 stakes winners, 5 of them 2-year-olds. Now, In the Mischief stands for $7,500 due with a full stands and nurses at Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, and Ned Toffee. The number over at Spendthrift is 294-0030. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All righty. Am I on the air?
You are now.
I am now. My wife just informed me we need milk. Well, I'll go buy a cow.
That's
how's that?
Good. That's good. Just as long as you get it by lunch.
The honey-do list just grows daily, I think. Once again, I was talking to Mr. Kirk Gentry from over Gentry Farms over here, and they had purchased Princess Rooney, and that's where they kept her until she passed away, and she's buried over to Horse Park. And she was the champion. I mean, she was a great race mare. Dr. Ben Roach and his son Tom bred Princess Rooney. Mm-hmm. And she ran 21 times, had 17 wins, 2 seconds and a third. Only time she was out of the money, she ran fourth in her only trial on the grass. So, but she was just a fabulous race mare. She started out racing down at Calder, and she won her first four starts. The fourth start was a stakes race that she won by 12. Then she went to New York and won the Frisette, the Grade One Frisette, by 8 lengths. Won her first five starts there, she won by 3, by 4, by 18, by 12, and by 8. Then in her last start as a 2-year-old, it was in the Grade Two Gardenia at the Meadowlands, and she won that one by 11. She didn't even cut it close, did she?
No.
Made her first start at Gulfstream in March, and she won. There's an allowance race that, and she won that by half a length, going 7 furlongs. Came back at Keeneland, going over the Beard course, and in an allowance race there, and won that by 10 lengths. Boy, they haven't got close to her yet, have they? Then she won the Ashland Stakes by 9.5, and went on down to the Kentucky Oaks. And she won that by a length and a half. So that was her first 10 starts. She was unbeaten. Finally got beat in the Acorn. She ran second to Ski Goggle. And then she was second to Prim Lilla Prim in an allowance race. And they put her on the grass at Hialeah going a mile and a 16th. And she ran fourth. This got beaten by 3 lengths by a horse named Aspen Rose, who was a good race by herself. Took her out to Santa Anita for the Susan's Girl, and she won that by a nose. She came back in the Hawthorne Handicap. That's not at Hawthorne, as you might think it is, but it's a Grade Two race at that time out in Hollywood Park. She ran third in that. Then she went in Hollywood Park in the Milady Handicap Grade Two. And she ran second, got beat 2.5 lengths by a filly named Adored. And then she won her last 5 starts of her career. At Hollywood Park, she won the Grade One Vanity Invitational. that was going a mile and an eighth. And she went at 146 and one, won by head, beating Adored, who had the filly had beat her in her two previous starts, so she got even there. She went to Del Mar and won the Grade 3 Chula Vista by 2.5 lengths, going a mile and a 16th and 140 and two. Came to Keeneland, and she won an allowance race over the Beard course out there. Then they put her in the Grade 1 Spinster Stakes, and she won by 6 lengths, beating a filly named Lucky Lucky Lucky, who I believe raced for Mr. Combs. I know Lucky 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 was, I believe she was by Lucky Debonair. In fact, I'd bet money on it. I'd probably lose, but I might risk a quarter or two. And she won that by 6, as I said. I believe Mr. Leslie Combs might have had her. I'm not sure. Then in the final of her start of her career, I was at Hollywood Park in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, Grade 1 Stakes, going a mile and a quarter. And she won that by 7 lengths, beating Life's Magic and Adored. Drew off that and won that going 2, a mile and a quarter, and 202 and 2. Princess Rooney was by Verbatim. It was by Speak John. And both Verbatim and Speak John stood down here at Elmendorf Farm when Mr. Maxwell Gluck had the farm, and Jim Brady was running it. My good friend Jim Brady, who's got a farm in Bourbon County out on the Paris Pike out there. Out of a mare by Drone, a gray horse who stood, he was by Turn 2 that stood down at Claiborne Farm, had a bad reputation for being a little bit on the mean side, but he was a good sire. No two ways about that. I think he stood for 5,000 down there, and they filled his book out. He was a popular horse at that for that stud fee. He was a good stud horse, and the son of Turn too, anyway. And Princess Rooney was ended up being trained by Neil Drysdale. Prior to that, she Frank Gomez had trained her. But anyway, she was a really great race mare. All righty, let's see what I can do now. Take a look at the winners out of here. Since last week's show, we've had 9 winners. All of them at either Mountaineer or Churchill Downs. 5 of them at the Mountain and 4 of them at Churchill. The Mountaineer winners were trained by Tommy Short. Tommy's got a bunch of yearlings out here he's breaking. I see 6 or 7 of them going down on the lower track. Some of them still had hip numbers on him. Wayne Mogie saddled one and down the Mountaineer. Kid Rockette. Alan Crupper had one at Mountaineer. Chuck Hamilton. Chuck used to play basketball for the old Kentucky Colonels. Yeah. So
his son works at Kesmark.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a son that works over at Kesmark. Nice young man. And Chuck, I think he played at the same time that Dan Issel did. Anyways, I don't know how good he was, but he played for him. Brenda Hill saddled the winner Mountaineer. Now, Churchill winners were Chuck Peary, had the Cats All That, who won down at Churchill Downs. Wayne Mogie saddled, he's got the facts to win at Churchill Downs. And then yesterday at Churchill Downs, Greg Burchill, saddled Brilliant Autumn to win the first race. Greg is new out here. He's been out of Keeneland. He's got a farm down in Jessamine County, he was telling me. Seems like a real nice man. And then Catch the Cactus won the 7th race yesterday, and Cactus is trained by Bobby Sturgeon. And, of course, Bobby is the good old Bourbon County boy.
Next week.
We are on from 9 till 11. The next 4 weeks, it looks like we're on from 9 till 11. So tuck that under your mattress and pull it out every
so often. Write it on your arm.
Write it on your arm or tattoo it somewhere or do something with it. All right, well, they're playing our little music down there, so that means I guess it's about time to
bail out. Happy Trails.
Happy Trails are here again. I want to thank Mary Jane down at the studio. Thank you, Mary Jane. Appreciate it. I want to thank Rusty Dukes up here in the studio, our studio, which happens to be a clocker stand. Ain't very fancy, but we're here. And what else?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm planning on just stuffing myself. Talk to you all next week early, 9 to 11, and thanks for listening.